Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H and Jaily. We were quite jaily. We've been in jail for a couple of weeks. So Andy was away for a couple of weeks. I was away for a week. But we were back this afternoon for the H and J Daily. And these are the best bits of this afternoon's show. And they featured us, obviously. We had a chat about various things. And you got involved, and Danny Kelly joined us. He was in the studios back in the UK and popped in to see us, and we had an even longer...
Yes, an extended session.
...conversation about the weekend.
Allowed us to stray into other areas.
As always. So we hope you enjoy all this. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. Great to be back.
And yes.
I had my the best far-flung recognition I've ever had in my life. I was in the loo in Buenos Aires Airport.
Yeah.
And this bloke comes up behind me and said to me, "Are you Andy Jacobs from TalkSport?"
Really?
Incredible. Yeah, he was a big Arsenal fan, actually, who deals in tallow. He was a very nice man. Do you know what tallow is?
Bowling tallow?
It's animal fat.
Right.
It's a sort of byproduct of the beef industry.
You are.
I am after the last 2 weeks. So,
So what does he do with tallow?
That's a very technical thing.
Didn't you ask him about it? I suppose you're having a wee, aren't you? It's the last thing you want to get involved
with. We had a chat on the plane as well. He was so excited about Arsenal.
Well, I mean, you had about 15 hours in the air from Buenos Aires. I think you'd know everything about tallow.
I know.
Let's ask the listeners about it, because occasionally you meet people and you find out about an area of expertise that you would not imagine.
No, Andy. Absolutely. I'm just looking. I'm trying to.
There were some fairly there were some ships, massive cruise ships going past once or twice when I was away.
Mm.
And we got onto the subject of like the something being the size of oil tankers. And I was telling this bloke on the beach that one of my wife's friends, her mum's new partner, I met him at a party. And you know, the guy was there and you say, "Hello, how are you?" "Well, I'm Paul," his name was. He just got chatting. He said, "What do you do?" And he said, "I park oil tankers."
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the phone would go, "Hello, Reg, can you get down to Suez? Half past three, Wednesday. It's a mile and a half long." And
do,
so he stands
there. Reverse?
Go on. That's it. Go on. Whoop. Right hand down. But no, it was his job. He would just be cool. It was a very skilled
job.
He was an Egyptian guy, I think. And he'd sort of spent years doing it. And now he was a hired gun. The phone would ring and he'd fly off somewhere and park an oil tanker because apparently you need a bit of help. That's it. Left hand down a bit. That's it.
I can't find his name. I don't know why. We definitely WhatsApped each other.
The great forgotten man. So if you found yourself an expert in an area you weren't expecting, what do you do? What was the most unlikeliest left field answer you got to that question at a social? What do you do? TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. I can't believe Danny Kelly hasn't asked that question of some and got an answer he wouldn't have expected. So I fully expect him to come in with a tail off the back of
that. He made me do a video for his son saying that Arsenal are the best team in the country, which I was happy to do because they are.
Oh, okay. Wow, that must have been quite painful.
Through gritted teeth. Talking of teeth.
I mean, he obviously caught you in a good mood.
He did.
Because you wouldn't normally be up for doing that.
He was just a very nice guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever done this. I went to the loo where we were
staying. I've done it, yeah. And I can't remember how many times,
in for what I thought. I wanted to brush my teeth. And I thought, I'll brush my teeth. And it was Veet hair removing cream. It was next to the toothpaste. And then it said, "If ingested, go straight to the hospital." I thought, this is not good.
You don't ingest the toothpaste normally, do you?
Well, you don't.
At what point did you realise that you were brushing your teeth with Veet?
Pretty soon after it hit my mouth. It was disgusting.
You thought, where's the minty freshness gone in this? The very cheap toothpaste we bought.
It wasn't ideal.
Yeah.
Anyway, for fans, going back to the football yesterday.
Tallow is essentially lard.
Yes, it is.
Says Joe. I use it for my roast on a Sunday. Thank you for that. Tallow was used by plumbers whilst working with lead pipe back in the day.
I think you put it into... That's right. He said you put it into soap and things like that.
Yeah.
It goes into that. So it's...
Well, anything you want to tell us about tallow, you are listening to Tallow Sport after all. Do let us know. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and Jade. 50 fun facts. There must be out there on the internet if you've got nothing better to do. And the other thing was, Theo Walcott, we may come on to him a little bit later on. It was one of the listeners once called him on here, Theo Walclock. Remember that?
Yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah, brilliant. Theo's talking about his young lad, Arlo. He said, my son Arlo keeps on at me about Southampton being at the bottom of the league. Mm. And he says to me, Dad, you're going down. Oh, yeah, thanks, kids. Yeah,
brilliant, isn't it?
He said, actually, he loves football right now. He's obviously very young, and it makes me love it even more. But you don't need that. You don't need to come home after you've lost a game. Arlo's going down, going down.
That's not ideal.
Can't be booed
by your own family.
Booed into your own living room by your kids.
Did you see that Gianni Infantino was at Millwall?
Yeah.
Did he just speak? Today I'm Harry Cripps.
Yeah.
Today I'm Terry Herlock.
Today I am Barry Kitchener. Yeah, that's right.
You bet he did.
Yeah, I bet he probably did. Today I am Eamon Dumphy. It'd be great. He'd get on side. It'd be great if he suddenly all. This milk. Yeah, that's a nice idea.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, I once fitted carpets for a. What's that? I don't know if I can read that. I'm going to come back to that one. Okay. I mean, it did slightly throw me. Danny Kelly here any moment. As we've got the pleasure of his company in the flesh, we will be doing an extra 15 minutes. He's with us in the studio. And we always, you hear that Oscars music to clear the stage. We always run out of time. And I think it's fair to say there was one or two fairly seismic results.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend.
You very rarely are you shocked by football. That was a shocking result. There's no other way to describe it.
Well,
for fans of Schadenfreude, can I recommend Mark Goldbridge watching United lose 7-0? It's very funny. talk about a man just disintegrating. It's brilliant.
I take it you'll be back at four. Many of you love a bit of Schadenfreude when Andy Goldstein returns with Darren Bent having seen his team 2-0 down and winning 3-2. So there'll be an interesting show, I'm sure, with Drive, Andy and Darren at four. But whose turn is it in the barrel?
It's Martin Beer. I finally found
it. Oh, well done, Martin. Yeah,
the tallow man, he calls himself.
Really, does it? Martin Beer, tallow man. Colon, tallow man.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Dan Laz says, I once fitted carpets for a nipple maker for the NHS Reconstruction Department. Fair enough. And what do you do? That conversation, Andy met a man in the tallow business in a toilet in Buenos Aires the other day.
Well, I've got a very posh version of that from very recently. Not this time. The last time I was coming over from Ireland, and of course you come in these very small, quite small planes. Yep. So there's just two of you sat together, and this woman got in and said, excuse me, can I get inside you there? And she was very, very well presented. She had... Well, her clothes were worth more than my car, definitely. And then she started shuffling these papers. And, of course, I cannot resist. I talk to people for a living. I ask questions for a living. I said, you're a legal person, are you? And she looked at me slightly sideways. And she said, yes. And then I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm going over to talk to the British government. It turns out that she was really, really high up in the British, in the Irish government, and this was something to do with Brexit, and she had all these legal things with her.
Wow.
I did ask her if I could see some of them, and she did not impart, unlike Tallow Man, she imparted no further wisdom to me and implied with her body language that I might shut up.
She didn't insist on a picture of you saying, hello, Danny Kelly, Ireland's better than England.
Oh, Paul, since then... someone I'm related to, you may have heard this story, has become, to my mind, out of the blue, my brother's wife's sister is now the president of the European Court of Human Rights.
Wow.
So, Andy, all your previous war crimes that keep causing you to go to Argentina, I can have them wiped off. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, very, very good.
So I would have said to her, you're only a high court judge, are you? Well, I can think I can do a bit better than that. By that stage, it hadn't happened for Schieffer. So.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. What a story.
Yeah.
Well, let's crack on with the football then. Whose turn is it in the barrel? Just remind you, we are looking for nominations. Mm. We'll go through them.
The TalkSport H&J and K Cooper has been very, very busy.
Look at this. And look, there's Potter running around free.
Yeah.
He's got his own barrel, and he bought him a barrel. And
but he's out at the moment. He's painting it. He's doing it up.
That's right.
The Luke Shaw barrel had to be extra wide.
Oh, okay, it's a bit unkind. Anyway, let's move on. There's only one place to start. We're going to look at. Every game.
I can talk. Thanks.
Every game in the Premier League played so far this weekend.
The extra 15 minutes we've wasted talking about aeroplanes, haven't we?
We're going to get stuck in. Liverpool. This is not, remember the old teleprinter and have it in words as well. So I'm going to say it twice. Liverpool 7 brackets letters 7. Manchester United 0. Yeah, I mean, you can say, Danny, you wouldn't see a result coming, but based on that first half, I don't think there's been a situation where you thought, I could never have seen that second half coming.
You're absolutely right, but isn't it one of the most delicious things about the many fabulous offerings of the football smorgasbord when that was not a 7-0 game. Liverpool were not 7 goals better than Manchester United, which makes their getting beat 7-0 all the more fabulous. I mean, everything could go right, and we'll talk a little later about Crystal Palace and the opposite. Everything could go right for Liverpool. The ball kept bouncing into the right places in the penalty area. I mean, they were fantastic as well. Let's not forget, once they got going,
they looked like old Liverpool.
Oh, yeah,
they really did.
They did.
The tails were up.
And, you know, in Gakpo is also, as well as everything else, he's 6'2" and he's strong as well as being quick. And Darwin Nunez, anyone who's a regular listener to Trans Europe Express would know that it's exactly what happened at Benfica. Yeah. Took him 6 months to sort out the rise in the level around him, and then nobody was safe.
No, he's quality. You can tell.
He runs like Liverpool Torres rather than Chelsea Torres, doesn't he?
It covers the ground. Say a lot about the league that Liverpool have been so poor this year, really, by their good standards.
But if you look at some of the reasons why, though, Andy, injuries, bedding new players in, they were all sound reasons why they weren't at it, which meant other players had to pick up the slack and couldn't, and so they came up short.
But look, I don't want to be a misery, because I love the game, but I do think Andy has a point. I think it's a very strange league in the Premier League. We could argue that, you know, we had a World Cup in the middle and all the rest of it, but you've got two fantastic teams at the top of the table.
Yeah.
In third place, you've got a team who can get beat 7. In fourth place, you've got a team who are frankly useless. So Andy will Brentford are doing pretty well. Brighton are doing very well. Quiet for now, we'll talk about it later, Andy. But mostly it's a bang average version of the Premier League, and that's itself further reflected by at the bottom, where no one is set adrift because they're all equally bad.
Yeah,
that's true. It's a fascinating down the bottom.
I mean, we're loving it. Not up to the standard of Germany, where 1 point covers the bottom 5, but pretty good.
I think Jamie Carragher was just trying to take the heat off of his boys a bit by saying he still thinks Spurs will get 4th. Based on what exactly? But I mean, you would think that the word momentum will be the case with Liverpool, you know, after a win like that.
But will it derail United's bid for top 4? That game's going to take a bit of getting over, isn't it?
I don't know what the reasons were for it. I mean, I would say it was a hangover from winning the Carabao Cup, but they had a game in midweek, didn't they? So it can't be that necessarily.
There's something about it happened in the Spurs-Chelsea game. There's something about you've gone in at half-time, you're still in the game. The manager's given you the halftime talk. You come out and immediately, you concede a goal. It somehow psychologically affects you.
Well, of course, the timing of those first two goals, they were the mother and father of the 7-goal beating.
And the psychology of winning a cup, winning a trophy, certainly with a new manager.
What do you know about it?
Well, exactly. I mean, I've heard people talk about it.
I've read it in books.
Yeah, I've read it in books on old The Venerable Bede. Anyway. So the psychology of winning a trophy. I mean, you may remember that under Juan de Ramos when Spurs beat Chelsea. We might as well have not played another game for the rest of the season. We had a massive cigar on. And here in Roy
Keane. Came up my timeline, that handball in that game.
Oh, yes.
Mark Housley was the referee that
day. Well, okay.
I'm going to take him to task when we speak to
him. It was given by the linesman, I think.
It was.
Housley didn't see it, did he?
Talk Sport Gold. No. Fans. Hello, Mark. Just want to complain about that handball.
By the way, cup final. Was it Wembley, wasn't it? Cup final. Berbatov's penalty, the most casual thing you've ever seen. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, with his bedroom slippers on. But sometimes winning a trophy like that, and Roy Keane was making that point, he said, you know, he could see a bit of a lax attitude at times, he felt, even before the goals were going in. It's difficult, isn't it? You've won it, you've had the big, you're on the pitch at Wembley, you're drinking champagne from the cup, and they were a bit sketchy on Wednesday, had to bring subs on to get out of trouble against West Ham, and yesterday they got a shooing. So, I mean, you could turn around, Man United fans may look back on this moment and say, that was when we consolidated third, we never looked back after, it was the reality check we needed.
Oh, we're moving on.
I get it about the psychology, and of course they're human beings, and they will have taken their foot slightly off the pedal. They've got about 14 games to get it back on, haven't they? But Liverpool will probably lose interest in the Champions League very, very soon, and then they've got only one thing to focus on. If they play half as well as that, then they're going to finish fourth.
With United still playing on, and Tottenham potentially. Well, we'll find out. We'll come on to that later on. So there we are, Liverpool 7, Manchester United 0. I'm sure there'll be an equally deeper dive for... with Andy Goldstein, who may not want to talk about it. We'll find out with Darren Bent. Nottingham Forest 2, Everton 2. And when you look at all the stats, not often you look at all the stats in a game and think, well, I mean, that was a draw all day. They had the equal amount of shots on target, effectively. Same amount of shots, nothing in possession, slightly more Forest at home. Passes, I mean, everything about it, it smacked of a draw, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you what else it was, because I happened to watch the whole game. It was a brilliant game of football. I mean, because it's completely in the shadow of the 7-0 now, it was a fantastically... Yeah. Evenly matched, as proven by the stats, game of football in which the draw was really no good to either team. I guess it suited Forest and Molecule more. Both teams went at each other like raptors, and it was proper mid-table or upper championship football. Both teams going bang out of it. Lots of physical contact, and I know you must have done this 1 million times in your show. Brennan Johnson, one of those players who can honestly say, even though his father is a legend at Forest and Ipswich, he can turn around and say, I'm better than my dad. And it's very, very rare that these famous sons, maybe Lampard, but you know, he's not going to fall foul of the Jordi Cruyff syndrome, is he? No, where, no matter how good he is.
He took that second goal brilliantly.
He's a great player.
You know, we have to say it, and Forest fans will know it, although he's a fan of the club and he's got ties to it through his dad. They're going to do well to keep hold of him, aren't they? I think it's fair to say.
Well, they may have to train him to a radiator, to be fair. Yeah.
Two penalties in that game, or two possible penalties. One was given, one wasn't. What did you make of
that? The Coleman one, yeah. It was a bit Norman Wisdom, wasn't it?
I am paid now. That was Norman Wisdom itself. That was Norman Collier.
Yeah.
I'm paid to know what to say about these penalties. I'm beyond it, Andy. I don't understand there's a watershed, isn't there? I don't know which way they're going to fall at any given time. What did you make of it particularly?
I didn't see the second one. I've only seen the picture of the first one. I thought was a penalty.
Yes. Yeah, I think too.
Yeah, John Joe.
So you've not seen the Coleman one? Coleman's about to hit the ball.
I've only read about it. Yeah, I can see what I saw the pictures in the Sun.
He's about to hit the ball and... Is it Colbeck catches his foot?
Colbeck
gets his foot in front of him as he's about to kick the ball. I mean, it was interesting on Match of the Day 2 last night. The guys were saying, Troy Deeney and stuff, saying he didn't think it was. They were saying, when is coming together a penalty? We've got Sean Dyche saying today, I don't know what a penalty is anymore.
I know, and nor do I. And the problem is, because they haven't codified it correctly, whatever the referee gives will stand. They will not back him down from VAR.
No, that's right.
So we're back to where we were 3 years ago.
Mark Housey said, Howard Webb, the head of the PGMOL, who's getting things moving quickly, said he wants refs to make decisions on the field and VARs only to get involved for clear and obvious errors. He felt, in that case, that's what happened with Forrest and that penalty.
What did the model Housey say?
Sorry? Well, I'm getting very... I'd like to point out to Mark Housey, the well-known Premier League referee, that there is a pop star called Housey. Are you aware of this, Danny? I know you're not working in the pop press anymore.
No.
There is a pop star called Housey. And a piece in the Sun gossip column today said, Housey chose the wrong time to wear a short skirt at Paris Fashion Week. Now, I'm not arguing that Mark's legs, he couldn't carry that off even
what
now in
Infantino
his 50s.
What was Infantino doing at Millwall? Do you think Harry Kane still plays for them? I mean, what a choice. What a brilliant, of course, a brilliant choice. When you can see what's going on in the second level of English football. Don't mess with English football.
Sorry, I'm being told off because we've never heard this section of the Oscars get off
the coda.
Music. It's the mid-late, the guitar solo. Yes, the bass solo's kicked in.
Might not throw me in soon, won't he?
John's going to come in and slap me around the face.
Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 2. That's coming up next.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Your producer's telling me off for rabbiting on too much. That kind of was the idea on radio, wasn't it? Three of us, it was. Yeah, sorry about that.
Triple rabbit.
So let's crack on, shall we, Liverpool? No, we've done that one. Yeah. Sorry, Arsenal. Sorry, United.
Wasted more precious time there. Yeah,
I'm trying to put this one off. Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 2. And, I mean, you think about it, in those results that Arsenal have turned around with those last gasp goals, what would have been 3 points, 9 points, and they could make all the difference, as they say. There was in that moment, getting the third goal, I could see Brian Kidd running onto the pitch and falling on his knees. Had a bit of that Stevie Bruce United Wednesday
Very
feel about
moment.
It.
Oh, and you know, Leicester City at various times, you know, in their run, I'm not comparing the two things. They're in, you know, the defeat against Manchester City, they're in fantastic form and fantastic spirit. And I think those two things take them a long way. I did love the fact that, and, you know, this has been around somewhat on social media, so forgive me if you've already heard it. I'm going to say it as a Danny Kelly original. That that beautiful thing whereby that was the first time ever, since 1996, that the starting 11, none of them had played under Wenger or been signed or trained at any stage by Wenger. They had to bring on Reece Nelson, who is a Wenger player, in order to get the result across the line.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the towers of UEFA, Arsenal is going, you see, you can't do it without me. Don't worry about
it. It was a real swinger, wasn't it? As you said, with his wrong foot, a real old swing, you're thinking. Finish, as Alan would say, why not? Why not? And with the dying seconds of
I've described it as the ultimate goal at the Emirates, Mike Bover.
It was. One of the listeners actually got in touch with us.
Which way has it gone, Mike Bover? We know which way it's gone.
There's been a goal. Yeah, it's off. There was only one occasion when it went the other way, and of course you were on air with Stan.
that lovely moment.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that lovely moment.
But, from Bournemouth, you did feel, didn't you, even at 2-0 up, once Arsenal got one back, the kind of force of will, the quality they have, they were likely to get an equaliser. Although Bournemouth did have that chance, Solanke had that chance, he took on his chest, it was a good save by Ramsdale. They could have gone even further ahead.
Yeah, no, there was, again, somebody was pointing out that one of the bookmakers had a technical glitch when people were trying to bet on Arsenal to win when Bournemouth were two up. And there was a technical glitch and they couldn't get the money on. Because people were saying, here we go, this is the moment when they're going to have to show their stuff.
That sort of in-running bet is quite fun. You're not supposed to encourage betting, but that's it's quite fun and you know, it's worth a little.
I mean, the problem is, Paul, I still can't see what Bournemouth are as a team. They don't have any identity for me.
They're going down.
And I worry about that. But
of the moment, the passes of play the other day, they scored good goals.
Arsenal fans are funny, though. I've got a very good one of my best friends is an Arsenal fan. About 3 years ago, he said to me, I've written to the club, I've sort of given up my season ticket, I've stopped going. Last week, I was speaking to him, he said to me, oh, the atmosphere there is incredible. Because you're winning. That's the thing, isn't it?
Well, that's understandable, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I was going to say, any positives for Bournemouth? The fact they took it to the wire.
I thought you were going to ask me, have you got any negatives for Arsenal?
That's not the first time Bournemouth have been two up and lost 3-2 this year, is it? I can't remember.
There is a positive for them, and that is that they're still not cut adrift. And the standard of their play so far this season, you know, you'd have said they might in other years have been cut adrift. And so the same is true of Southampton. But they've got every chance of survival. You know, we're into a dozen cup finals now for all of those clubs. And there's no reason why you get yourselves into a group and say, right, we can do this now. Because if you said to them at the start of the season, Bournemouth, you will be in the race to stay up. At this stage of the season, they'd have taken your arm off.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's nothing more annoying. Anyway, there we are, Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 2, I'm sure.
You're ahead of the music there, Paul. Good. Very good.
Darren, Ben, I'm sure, will be talking more about that game at 4 o'clock with relish. We move on to Southampton.
Is relish on again? He was really good last week, wasn't he? What a rapper.
Please welcome to the stage Darren Bent and relish. Cracking the gops. Anyway, Southampton 1, Leicester City 0. And there's nothing finer as a football fan to watch a player absolutely take you apart, look like the re-embodiment of Brazilian Ronaldo and Pelé and Hernan Crespo all in one, scoring goals for fun. Kelechi Iheanacho, and then goes out of the weekend and Thrupney Bithead plays like a drain. There's nothing, because at Tottenham, of course, he was a world beater, but 3 weeks later he couldn't find the net. Not that I'm bitter, of course, but well done to Southampton. That was again a big result for them, wasn't it?
I mean, critical, wasn't it? Because it's done two things. It's kept them, right in the absolutely level race, and it's just kept Leicester in a place where they can keep fretting. The return of Maddison is a huge thing for them, and I thought he played pretty well, but they still found a way to lose the game. And another team who just caught in a place where, you know, the great team has all gone now. I saw Mark Albrighton playing in a different shirt the other day. It was like Ravens, Towers, etc. Vardy sits there on the bench. Fofana you know, you see him doing great things at Chelsea instead.
Well, starting to, yeah.
What the hell is going to go? I mean, they will, I think they'll stay up Leicester because there's so many other teams below them. But that has kept them nicely on edge. Ward-Prowse, of course, missed the penalty and then said,
yeah,
I'd rather wish it had been a free kick.
Well, yeah, I mean,
how good are you a free kick?
You should take the penalty from outside the box.
Well, no, and build a wall.
Would probably be the only player when he gets a penalty is to argue for VAR to go look at it and say, actually, the contact.
Isn't that incredible that he carried on in two penalties and free kicks? He's absolutely brilliant, as I know to my cost.
Yeah, he's much better. Why don't you move the spot back? Yeah. Maybe that's the secret.
How many people, though, said Alcaraz escaped from the defender? Including get the idea. It's called Alcaraz.
He's escaped from
very
Alcaraz.
Very severe haircut, Alcaraz. He hasn't got the fade at all. It's just hair and no hair below it, isn't it? Quite monkey.
He's lucky not to see red, though, I thought.
So the singing, the Leicester away fans were giving Brendan some clog. He said he understands their frustrations. Brendan out was the chant, apparently, or the equivalent.
Over in Ian Nacho's costly misses, which looks like something could mean something
else. Tell me about it. That's all I could focus on watching him miss those. Oh, yeah, he didn't do that against Tottenham, mate, did you? Thanks.
I think you're referring to the possibility of having a very expensive wife,
exactly.
Are you?
Yeah. Southampton have done the double over Chelsea. Isn't that pathetic, is it?
We all see it through the prism of our own clubs.
And they play Spurs very soon as well.
Yes, that is very true.
Yeah.
Still to come, we'll have Wolves, Spurs, Chelsea, Leeds. That's a section we're all looking forward to. And, of course, Brighton, West Ham, Villa, Palace, Manchester City, Newcastle, all still to be looked at. Danny Kelly is with us in the studio.
Are you filling to the break now?
Well, that's all. I've gone from one extreme.
He's unnerved you.
I can't do another game because he'll start on me. I can give you an any other business. Very quickly, any other business. This is a complaint you don't hear very often. Vincent Kompany wants the people in suits to alter the rules regarding AstroTurf on the side of pitches. They lost Josh Brown, who was giving him the 26th minute when he went down on the surface. And Vincent has apparently talked about this in his City days. He rails against it. He campaigns. Change.org. I'm very against AstroTurf on the side of pitches.
Somebody play the music. Come on.
This is the filly you wanted to the producer.
West Ham.
This is the filly. This is the stuff you're going to get.
Parrot.
Can't start. Oh, no. You wear studs on grass, not on AstroTurf. And if you're out on the wing, you sometimes on grass and then on AstroTurf. Is this not holding your attention, Danny? I'm getting the 1,000 yards.
But I didn't realise you were going to have a gardening section as well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We move on then. We're looking back over the Premier League weekend. Danny Kelly is in the studio with us. And we move on to Wolves 1, Spurs 0. And yeah, I mean, Tottenham hitting the bar twice in this game. Went out on the front foot for a change, which is unlike them. Looked to have Wolves rocking, couldn't capitalise on it, and was sucker punched. I mean, for the second time in a week, to an extent.
A different kind of sucker punch.
Yeah,
here, the manager of Wolves changed the team
and
the system, and Spurs, because of their arrogant belief that their system is the only one that works, whether you're doing it by drone from Italy or outside of the bench, didn't respond, and Wolves were allowed to work their way back into the game. But I was apoplectic at the end of the game, Paul, because that's four successive away games against different kind of competition in three different cups where they've managed to score no goals and lose the game. Afterwards, you have to be honest with yourself and say, Spurs have had 14 shots on goal before they had one. So on another day, two of those had gone in.
Oh, yeah, they were
very,
well
very
on top.
Game.
But they did that thing, Spurs, that drives fans mad. They play a weakened team in the cup.
Oh, yeah.
They go out, and then they compound it by losing the next game. If they'd won, at least they could have argued, well, we saved the best.
There is nothing worse. And the substitutions were pretty perverse. I mean, Lucas Moura is not staying. They brought new players in, but there is this the second game running. Well, Lucas started.
Well, just think about the relations between Spurs and Everton. They literally, Dan Juma had been paraded around the sort of training ground in Everton top. Spurs broke their ankle to get him to come down there, and they haven't played him.
Yeah.
Like they haven't played Jed Spence, like they haven't played Richarlison. And you see Moura coming on, and what does Richarlison sat there on the bench think?
Yeah.
Now, I know he's not torn up any trees, but he's had no opportunity.
And when he has been asked to come in and do a job, people think he cost 60 million quid, but he's barely played. He's got no rhythm. So it doesn't help at all, does it?
You know, it's bad when Adama Traore scores against you.
Dr. Tottenham, wasn't it?
He's the original no end product, isn't he? So
it was actually a very sweet take as well, wasn't it?
It was.
Good finish. But he didn't have time to think about it, which is.
No, that's it, yeah.
He must have been encouraged by Porro's free kick.
Yeah, no, Porro looked
what he was
Harry
only...
was Harry was mortified.
Yes.
Yeah, he was the only, his old bottom lip was going when he saw Poirot wanted to take it, but he was the only sort of real positive in a pretty sorry.
But like Danny says, they should have been three up before.
Yeah, I mean, maybe on another day, as you say.
Should have, could have, don't do it, does it? Let's be honest, it's professional football.
We move on to Chelsea.
Please
one.
Move on.
I've still got more on the Astro, by the way, we'll come back to that later.
Yeah.
Chelsea 1, Leeds United 0.
Sorry, what would Vincent Kompany have made about the moat at Highbury back in the day?
Oh, yeah, imagine that.
Remember there was
the, like a little bit of Astro.
For those of you who still got your own teeth, Highbury used to have a crowd control method where there was a 6-foot deep moat, concrete moat, around two sides of the pitch at Highbury to stop people coming on the pitch. And the players could easily fall into that. And occasionally you'd see, well, the ball often went into it. This was the days when I used to go to both grounds, Paul, before making a terrible decision.
tell me about it.
And then every now and then, a player would run off the pitch at high speed and have to do a little hop in the air and kind of jump down into the trench.
That's right.
I don't think Vincent wouldn't approve of that, would he?
Graham Roberts put him in there. Charlie Nicholas is still in there. It's the doppelganger who's been working on TV ever since. But can you imagine it? Well, you used to see him overseas. I think Arsenal was the only ground that actually had a moat in this country, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I always, part of me always wanted to fill it with water as well. Let's go the whole hog, you know.
It's sharks.
Vincent Kompany's listeners going, what?
Yes. So let's go on to Chelsea Leeds. Andy, did you make the game? Had you got back?
No, I hadn't got back yet. My son said to me, just same old, same old. We actually scored, which is good.
You got in front, but then I was understandably nervy, I think, from a Chelsea point of view, having got in front.
Potter's so negative, the changes he made. He invited them onto us, and somebody said Ziyech rotated to the bench. I said, he should be rotated out the door. It's a bit like Lucas Moura. Why are you picking this bloke?
He doesn't want to be there, does he?
He doesn't want to be there. Stop picking him. And Havertz, I've said this to you before, he's a manager killer. In his career, Kai Havertz will get so many managers fired because he's a wonderful player in training, I reckon.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like he's got all the skills. But on the pitch, I mean, really, that one-on-one was just pitiful, really. You know, so...
If we're going to allow Graham Potter out of his newly refurbished barrel for 1 week, which of the Chelsea players from that game would you like to put in it?
Well, no,
just to keep it warm.
No, I don't think so. I think they did all right. And Fofana obviously played well. And, you know, but it's just things he does. Like, why did he drop Badashiel against Tottenham when he played really well? I mean, that's a mad stat that Chelsea had the second best defensive record in the league. They just can't score a goal. And even Saturday, you know, it was difficult. And he just should be getting much more out of this team. They've got excellent players, you know, a brilliant squad. And if you can't complain, his excuses while I was away. You know, like, oh, we had too many injuries. Now we've got too many players. All right, if you think you've got too many players, take the 22 you want to work with. Be ruthless, mate. It's your job. And say to the others, you were training with the kids. I can't deal with 31 players.
I thought he was saying a lot of extra things in the press conference because he knew you weren't in the country.
Yeah.
I want to definitely save some of your ire because we got yet to do Brighton's massive win haven't we?
Yeah. I mean, a part of it's not his fault. I mean, you've got these new owners who've come in. They spent £550 million and they didn't buy a striker, a proper striker. And if Chelsea... Look, obviously, Ivan Tony's a bit difficult at the moment, but if Chelsea had bought Ivan Tony either in the summer or in the window, they'd be top four. They promise you they'd be top four.
And you must be looking forward to next season when they will presumably deal with this during the summer.
I don't know if they will buy a striker. I mean, they've sort of bought Nkunku, but he's not really a proper striker, is he? They need...
Well, they'll play him as a proper striker.
Well, last time he went out and spent £100 million on a player like that, he was a duffer, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was Tuchel's fault. Now he just doesn't like strikers, so he got rid of all the Chelsea strikers.
In Lukaku. But I mean, you've had that kind of player. You always need that kind of player.
Lukaku would have been the answer if he played well and if he'd been played properly. But,
from a Leeds point of view, again, there they are just teetering on the edge of the bottom three.
Also, a similar problem. I mean, no Bamford and, you know.
Yeah. They've got a bunch of players. Aileen was saying they've got a bunch of players coming back from injury, five or six in the next few weeks.
It has to be Rodrigo, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That is their lifeline.
Without him, they've got a real problem.
That is their lifeline. And if not, they will go down because, as I keep saying about them, they play pretty well, but they lose the match because they can't get the goals. And, you know, whereas Chelsea have enough talent to keep them bubbling along. Leeds need those goals just to stay in the league.
That thing where, I was chatting to Jason and we were just chatting about
Jason Cundley,
while I was away. We're both going, well, he's got to go to a back three. Chilwell and James, since they've come back, they've put in four crosses before Saturday. You know, that is ridiculous. Talk about not using your best players in the right way. That's so Saturday went to a back.
No, you haven't got any strikers. You've got loads of good. You've got two excellent wing backs. One of them perhaps the best in the country.
You look at your team and think, you know, what isn't the manager seeing that you can see? It's really
it's one of the frustrations of fandom, isn't it? Of course.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Annie Jacobs here on TalkSport. Danny Kelly is with us. We've still got some games to squeeze in. Just before we do, interesting listening to Martin Keown's comments with Jim and Simon earlier on. I mean, from an Arsenal point of view now, if you're an Arsenal fan, you're, say, regular at the Emirates, that you can enjoy it because even if you end up finishing second, I mean, it will be a blow, but if they finish second, it's still been a great
season.
That's
their best chance to win it.
That is not what my Arsenal supporting friends
think. I don't agree because this is a wonderful chance to win it for Arsenal.
You think this is a bit Leicester-like?
No, not necessarily.
It's not 5,000 to one, is it?
You know Liverpool, for example, are going to strengthen. If they get Bellingham, if they get Mason Mount, with Nunes and Gakpo coming good, you know they're going to mount a challenge. They won't have another season like this. Even Chelsea should be better next season, you know, and I just
Spurs be much better next season. Spurs,
after the rebuild, it'll be only be season one of the rebuild under Pochettino at that stage,
back,
of course.
So they'll be
at least I'll feel
they'll
better
be
than whatever about the team.
It'll be furniture shopping.
I'm not saying
they're
going to be set for several years now. They've got a wonderful team and a great manager, and I'm not saying they won't be top four, but to actually win it takes a lot of doing.
I don't agree with you, Paul. I think Arsenal fans,
all I'm saying is. That will be the sheen put on it as they walk round the Emirates at the end of the season. If they have come up short,
they'll have blown it.
They'll still have some Tottenham's day, of course, Danny, won't they? I think that's in the bank.
Is that still a thing? Isn't there a statute of limitations? Hasn't it disappeared into the dustbin of history?
I think you'll find it. They'll be dusting it off.
Twice this year already?
By play, do you mean have we appeared in the same pitch?
We've still got to go to the Emirates for.
We seem to think it was Martin Odegaard's testimonial for some reason. So that didn't it particularly help? Anyway, we move on. Arsenal fans, let us know if you think a second would still be a great season. I argue that if you finished fifth last year and effectively sort of slightly choked at the end, it's a big turnaround, isn't it?
It's a big turnaround, Paul, but they're in a place now. Look, it's the same old story, isn't it? There's a dozen games to go, give or take. If you win those, you're the champions of England.
Yeah.
And against all the odds in many, many ways. No, they all want to win this,
I'm sure they do. Okay.
Am I falling out on air?
No, we're not falling out. No. I just think that the Arsenal fans would, if they had to
they'd rationalise it, but wouldn't be the truth. The truth is they need to win it this year because they've got a wonderful opportunity. If they don't, they'll have blown it, I think, anyway. But I don't think they will, having said that. I think they're going to win it.
No. Brighton 4, West Ham 0. And David Moyes, again, another manager under an awful lot of pressure. I mean, Brighton can do that to you when they get going, but...
astonishingly poor result.
That was a bit of a kicking, wasn't it?
I mean, Andy, for a number of reasons, is looking at this result through slitty eyes, but... Yeah. It's a terrible result, and it's a form result, isn't it? A very good team against a team of very good players who are no kind of team. And David Moyes, for the first time, I think, since the last few weeks at Manchester United, looks to me like someone who's got developing thousand-yard stare, isn't he?
Yeah.
He does what he can, and it's not working, and he's tried so many combinations of the players, he's tried to bring more attacking. He's tried to sort of close it down, and nothing seems to get them the results they need. Now, again, you cannot imagine a team with Declan Rice. Let's go through the players they've got. You know, you can't imagine this team going down.
Yeah.
But they are in the... And careful what word you use there. One of the problems with doing regular podcasts now, you can say what you like, and I can't say it on the radio. But they're like somebody in quicksand. You think all they got to do is hang on to this branch, and they can't quite get a grip on the branch, can they?
The 17th time they've conceded first is a damning statistic. And I made a joke a couple of weeks ago saying that, Potter must have been holding Brighton back, but I think it's true. They're so much better under De Zerbi. They really are. I mean, it's noticeable. They score more goals. They play better football, you know. So I would imagine Brighton fans are quite delighted to have picked up all the money they did from Chelsea and get a better manager.
I'm sure they are. But the point is made, I think Danny Murphy was hinting at this the other day on Match of the Day, that, you know, if the West Ham ball didn't have Moyes and they sat down, they said, we need a manager to come in, tighten them up at the back, get a bit of togetherness, just keep us up this season. They'd probably call David Moyes. But sometimes when you've, as you said, the thousand yards there, you've been in a place for so long, you can't see the wood for the trees. Maybe they, you know, is it too late to change it?
No, it's never too late when it's that close at the bottom. If you genuinely, if you believe in the new manager bounce, or you think you could get an extra 5% out of that group of players, then you should change it for the good of the club. Your argument is that the person they would be on the phone to would be David Moyes, but perhaps they can't change the team. So as we always say, they've got to change the manager. I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying that, of course, you do it 6 games to go if you have to, Paul.
Yeah.
Because this is not the Premier League, and it's not about projects anymore. It's about, for most of the teams in it, it's about staying in that league. You know, for the teams in the top 6 or 7, it's about getting into the Champions League, and for the rest of them, financially, which I hate, it's about staying in this league.
Yeah, well, sitting up there in the director's box, of course, give it nobs to the end of the season. It will be a cry.
I'm so bitter. My note for this is I hope Brighton get into Europe because Thursday and Sunday will do them in. So bitter.
Your plans to ruin Brighton, they're very advanced.
Yeah, you raid them of their players and their manager. Now you've turned
that hasn't worked. He's got something else in mind now.
I know, and their staff. They can have them all back.
Caicedo didn't not affected by having his head turned. That's the takeaway from Brighton's point of view. Anyway, we move on to the next game, which is Aston Villa 1, Palace 0. Some damning stats on Palace I read today, courtesy of the Sun. They've now gone nearly 3.5 hours without a goal or even having a shot on target in the Premier League. You think 9 games without a win. They've got City and Arsenal and Brighton to come.
You can't see any points.
They could get sucked into this, couldn't they? They're well off it at the moment. Well, I say well off it. They're what? They're 5 points off of bottom three at the moment. But there is a slight concern from Palace fans' point of view. They could get sucked into this.
They are the highest team who could possibly be relegated.
Yes, absolutely.
So the problem for them is that they're in terrible, terrible form. But it would require three or four teams behind them to be even, to get into great runs of form to really drag them into it. And I get it. They've won only the same number of games as Southampton, so you know they're not a good team. And you see, he picked all the attacking players this time round, and then you see what happens. You get an own goal and a red card in the game, and that's a sign. Nothing. There's no logic to this. That's a sign for those of us who watch football for a long time. An alarm bell rings, doesn't it? Okay, you've done something different. But now these things derail you. Then you do something else different, and those things derail you.
It's odd. I'm sure Palace fans could tell us because they know their own team better than we do. But it is a bit odd because they look to be doing well under Vieira, didn't they? There seem to be something about them, but they just really have fallen apart.
They seem to be. How can I put this? I don't see the middle of the team. I see the front of the team, and I see the back of the team. I can see how they can work.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in the middle, and it's not because they've not got good players. They just. Because he's a great midfield player himself, you think that's the partner to be easily looked after. He'll know what to do.
Yeah.
They just don't function very well from front to back. And, you know, they gathered up enough points at the start of the season to say that they will stay up. But every stat tells you at the moment that if there were four or five teams only below them, they'd be the ones who you'd be thinking they're going to drop into it, aren't they?
Big 3 point for Villa because I think Matty Cash was making the point they're a sort of team a bit in transition. Emery wants them playing in a different way. They're
he
keeping the ball
the
a
though,
bit more,
and he was fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, I haven't really forgiven him for the tackle last season
on Matt Doherty. Filed that one away.
Absolutely,
definitely.
That one's been filed away.
Yeah,
but he was the best player on the pitch, as it turns out. I mean, he's a very strong lad, isn't he? Fantastic. Cliche, fantastic engine, up and down, up and down, up and down. He's the difference between the teams.
Let's move on then. Manchester City 2, Newcastle 0. It's interesting comparing City and Arsenal at the moment, the way they're going about their business. I mean, Newcastle, again, it's another game. How many games? 3 or 4 games this weekend, you say?
Yeah, a lot of chances.
One team had taken their chances, it could have been a different result. I mean, you could say that's true of every weekend, but there were a lot of examples that Newcastle were allowed to get back into the game. But some good Newcastle defending apart from their own some good City defending apart from their own shortcomings, but it could have been a different result.
If you're an Arsenal fan watching this, you'd be taking a bit of hope from it, because City were once again, you know, slightly less brilliant than they have been. And to me, the interesting thing is Foden's goal. City are more and more reliant on moments of individual brilliance, whereas before, the last 2 or 3 years, they used to cut you to pieces with team goals. You know, that ball in between the centre-half and the full-back to a person going to the byline who pulls it back for the goal to go in. They're still scoring great goals, but with Haaland, but they're relying, I think, more and more on these moments of individual brilliance, whereas I see Arsenal as much more of a team at the moment.
Flip side of that, though, Danny, if I'm sure the City fans are saying, what about our second goal? We're under the pump. We're only 1-0 up.
Oh, lovely
goal. Grealish, that lovely layoff from Haaland, and just the instinctive finish.
And the Haaland thing has dominated everything, but the return to something like his form of Grealish has been a huge bonus for them, because I think he is a VG plus player, soon to be heading towards a great player. But he took him a long time, and only City can afford to pay pay £100 million for a player and then have to have a year for him to settle in. But man, he looks like a great footballer now, doesn't he?
I had a word with Frank Warren, and Haaland versus Dan Burn is on the undercard of Fury versus
Oh, yeah, I think we'd all watch that, wouldn't we? Certainly, that was...
With your showbiz connections, you'll be getting into the celebrity boxing soon now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, with a pro-celebrity boxing.
Huge money in it now.
I think there would be, almost certainly.
You mentioned Norman Wisdom as a classic Anthony Gordon, Norman Wisdom self-trip.
Oh, yes, he tricked
himself. Almost worth a penalty, I thought.
I once saw Jimmy Floyd...
A penalty against his team,
before VAR, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink got a penalty for that at Tottenham. You beat us 3-2. He fell over his own feet and appealed, and the ref gave it to him.
Thank God VAR is here. It solves everything.
And we managed to get through talk of a 7-0 win by Liverpool at home without mentioning that day when they did it with our team, Danny, of course, back in with Ozzy Ardiles.
We haven't nominated your barrel.
That was early in the season, though.
Who was in the barrel? I mean, it's unanimous. There's only one man. Step forward and just slip yourself in the barrel. What's Portuguese for barrel? Yes, it is indeed. Bruno Fernandes. What a Herbert, says Craig from Bradford.
Yeah, it was bad.
Such bravery, grit and determination and leadership skills. It's got to be Bruno Fernandes in the barrel, says Roger. So, yeah, loads and loads of you said this.
You were right, Tony. Paul. You told me that was the only possible nomination before we start, and you were absolutely right.
And no one else has really featured. So there we are, Bruno. Enjoy. You just slip alongside Graham Potter, who has his own... permanent barrel at Andy's request. It's lovely to see you in the flesh, Danny. Thanks ever so much for
plenty of it too. Thank
coming
you
in.
No, and also
it's Baril.
Yeah, well, I would have thought it's come from the Portuguese, hasn't it? Because we're moving wine around and stuff like that.
Oh, they're probably.
I'm guessing
that's true.
It's not an Anglo-Saxon word.
No.
Oh, thanks for that, Mr. Semiotician. Never mind waxers. What were you talking about at the start of the show?
Yes. What tallow.
Tallow man, yeah.
Oh, yeah, tallow. I've got some more tallow news. Tallow news. Can we get Steve Hartley in to do a voiceover? We use tallow in the electrical world to help us cut a thread on metal. Metal conduit tube, says Baker. And what about this one?
Is it wax?
It's joiners put tallow on screws when they put them into hardwoods.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We asked you early on, Andy met someone in the toilet in Buenos Aires. He said, are you Andy Jacobs from TalkSport? And he said, I am. And he's a man in the tallow business. He said he's in the tallow business. We didn't know a lot about tallow, but you've been filling us in. I mean, it's, for example, I'm an engineer. I use tallow. It's very low melting point, so it's ideal as a fat to put on drill taps to help machine threads or drill holes. Gives off a pleasant smell as the fat turns into a liquid to lubricate the machining process.
You're quite hungry at the end of it.
P.S. Don't leave it out, as mice and rats would turn up and get stuck into it.
Oh,
it's cheap to get from the butcher. I hope we're not going to put that bloke out of business who you met in the loo.
Well, he goes straight to the source in Uruguay and Argentina.
But Andy, if Addy said, what do you do? He said, oh, yeah, I'm in the tallow business. This is from Martin, the City fan. I had an unexpected one from a bloke. I think he might have been having you on, Martin. Chatting to a bloke at a family wedding, I said, what do you do? He said, I put the stamps of the Danish bacon logo on the bacon.
Oh, rubbish.
I think that's I don't think it's one bloke with a stamp. I've got a feeling that might be part of an automated process. Almost certainly, yes.
Did you see Infantino and FIFA are very funny, aren't they? Apparently, they loved so much the 100-minute match in the World Cup that they're going to tell leagues in Europe, including the Premier League, to embrace the 100-minute match, conveniently forgetting that after the first phase, they completely abandoned it because all the TV companies were going mad and the games were going on far too long. It's a good idea in theory, and I think the fans did like it.
I mean, one thing about what we used to find under the previous regime before Howard Webb took over as the head of the referees was that it would say, we're looking to make changes and we'll implement these changes in the next 6 months or, you know, next year. Why can't you do it now?
That's true.
And already what Howard Webb is doing, rightly or wrongly in people's eyes, he is acting on straight away. Referees have been directed to do certain things. One of them around time wasting. I mean, we saw that the other day. Bournemouth, you know, were understandably trying to see the game out because it would have been a huge point for them. And Arsenal were very upset, as were the fans and the players, that there was a lot of time wasting.
Yeah, it's one of the most unpleasant parts. Yeah, well,
that's good. Undone.
It did.
So, I mean, already Howard Webb is doing that. We saw some quite long injury times at the weekend.
They've also made it that Martinez wouldn't be able to do what he did in the final, you know.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, actually, because it was pathetic. Wasn't it? Goalkeepers must not behave in a way that unfairly distracts the kicker at a penalty kick or during penalties.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Maybe a sign as to why Mo Salah is still doing the business into his 30s and still as effective. He said he was going to celebrate becoming the record Premier League goal scorer last night, winning against United, by going home to the family, having some chamomile tea and going to bed. So fantastic. But that's you know, top athletes, that's probably a bit more common.
And when he took his shirt off, he did look pretty good.
Yeah, he looked after himself, I think it's fair to say. Talking of which, we've got some Frey Bentos pies in the...
Yes.
Funny, we went in to go and get a cup of tea in the TalkSport kitchen during the news and sport.
I might take one of those home.
There was the three tinned Frey Bentos pies just sitting there.
It's an old classic.
It is.
Don't forget to take the top of that, the whole thing will blow up.
Yeah, you'd lose a couple of teeth, couldn't you, as well, if you try and bite into that. But you made the point. It might be nice for sort of, you're saying...
Darwin Nunes, we're sending one to stop him being homesick.
That's a nice idea.
It is a place in Uruguay.
I know it is,
A lot of people know that. Yeah, Frei Bentos, it's called. Congratulations to Brooklyn Beckham, his 24th birthday.
Happy birthday, yeah.
Yes. His wife, Nicola Peltz Beckham, wrote on Twitter, happy birthday, baby. I love you more than I could put into words. I love being your wife. I love living by your side. I just love you so much. Why don't you just tell him? Don't tweet it. Just tell him that. We don't need to know that, do we? Drives me mad. I was on the talk of driving you mad. I was on the train earlier this morning on the tube.
Yeah.
And I've got to get this off my notes because I wrote it down.
Okay.
There's three young American kids, and they were using, you know, that thing where people can't say a sentence without saying like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so for one point, he went, Amsterdam, they were talking about, it's going to be like warm. I was like, it's going to be warm or not. It's not like warm, is it? And I wanted to go
You sound a bit old, Andy.
I know. I wanted to go like to Portugal. No, you just wanted to go to Portugal.
The producer says, can we like break?
We can like.
We can break. Like break.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. I'll do it all again tomorrow with Charlie Arley. I meant to say Charlie
full stop. Andy will be back on Wednesday. Although Charlie Arley.
I like Charlie Arley.
Is a good name. So I think I better leave it there before I completely stop speaking. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.